Welcome in, 8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. To win Qdoba today, you have to send us a good, the bad, the ugly Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, 970-242-1340. The good that the Rockies starting pitching continues to give them a chance to win games. The bad, the bullpen and the offense continues to find ways to help the Rockies lose games.
Hey, they're very good at helping, though. I mean, very helpful.
How about Saturday Night Live, to me, has not been funny for a very long time. It's had moments.
Going on 40 years now, almost.
Where they've had something funny, but it's just one brief moment. They decided to have Elon Musk host. Yikes. It was pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Like, does he have a history of humor? Like, not unintentional humor. Like, where he's actually trying to be funny on purpose and succeeds? Or am I missing something here?
They're reading stuff off prompters all the time, and he's not writing any of the stuff that he's doing anyway. And you just tell, he looked very awkward doing it. It just wasn't, it was a surprise. Like, well, they're going to have Elon Musk host Saturday Night Live? Okay. Wasn't very good. Bombed pretty bad. All right, so.
Shocked to tell you.
Shocked. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. We'd love to hear what makes your list of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the weekend. All right, let's check out the text line for just a moment. Got one from Bry Guy. He sent us a little GIF this morning. Mm-hmm. GIF. This picture says it all. Good for Nolan, bad for the Rockies, ugly for future scores against St. Louis.
Yeah,
and
went deep, had a double. He had a good weekend.
He had a very good weekend against the Rockies. And good piece in The Athletic today by Nick Groke about Nolan and about Austin Gomber making his first trip back to St. Louis. Of course, those two guys, part of the deals, the respective deals that sent Nolan to St. Louis and Gomber to the Rockies. And
they both kind of had the same sentiment. It's like, this is going to be weird.
Yeah, so here's the Cardinals, first team in the National League to win 20 games. They're definitely a contender for the World Series. Rockies are 2-14 on the road. They have the worst road record in all of baseball. Yikes.
That's not going to get better. San Francisco looks like they're legit. You got the Dodgers, you got the Padres. Arizona, you might get a few wins here or there.
And Bud Black in this article had a comment because, look, Bud's been around long enough to see guys get traded and get traded to another team and have some, obviously, unhappy feelings about the team that they were with previously. And Bud said, in a way, I'm insensitive to all this because I've seen it, but it looks a little different with Arenado, no doubt about it. And Austin Gomber said, look, it's going to be a little different for me. Bud Black just tried to tell him, be yourself. You know, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. Try to give him a little pep talk before he went out there on Friday and pitched against his former team. And then Nolan talked about it. You know, it felt weird knowing that a lot of those guys I came up with were over there. It felt normal against the Mets, but it didn't feel normal against the Rockies. It just didn't feel right in a way. And I could understand him
definitely
feeling that way of why he would, you know, it's got to be weird, right? It's got to feel weird.
Yeah.
Playing against all these guys that you traveled with, your buddies with, the Trevor Stories, the Charlie Blackmans, guys that have been there for a while.
It's like moving from your childhood home and seeing somebody else live there, kind of.
Exactly.
Like, this just doesn't, why would you paint it that color? That sort of thing. That's all I can relate it to.
Sure. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
And it had to be weird for him this past weekend. All right. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Want to get into some...
He seemed to handle it all right on the field, though.
Yeah, he was okay. Yeah, I think he dealt with it. I don't think there was any level of depression that kept him from going out and and not performing, because he certainly did.
4 for 12, scored like 5 runs over the weekend. Yeah,
he did okay. It was okay. 2 of them yesterday.
Yep.
And
only two.
And a 2-0 win over the Rockies. All right, the latest on, of course, the ongoing saga. It's not going to end until either he stays in Green Bay or that trade finally happens.
Rodgers! Discount double check!
So, here's the latest.
Has anything changed in five days?
On the monitoring of the Aaron Rodgers situation. All right, according to Jeremy Fowler of the Four Letter, that he was on SportsCenter yesterday, and he said that Rodgers is, quote, dug in on his trade request, that the Broncos are a team buzzing in league circles as a landing spot for him. That he said that the Packers are still actively looking for solutions here. They're trying to keep an open line of communication with Rodgers and his agent, Dave Dunn. No traction in the short term, but there are people around the league that believe Rodgers is indeed dug in, and there's a belief that he wants to be out west, and that Denver is that team. Fowler went on to say, I told a source that Denver's monitoring that situation right now, but they're also coming out of the draft days, and they're in the team-building mode. They really like Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, so they're not committed or tied to anything. Talking to people around the league, they say it's about 60-40, they think Rodgers is dealt. So here we are, monitoring the situation. And the Broncos odds with all the wise guys in Vegas, Broncos have the best odds of the teams, of the Niners that have been mentioned, and many others, your Browns, of a possible, which doesn't fit the criteria of what we keep hearing, wants to be out west.
Yeah. But he doesn't have a no trade, so ultimately it may not be up to him. Unless he just wants to take his ball and go home.
Which I still think is a very likely, if we see, I think it's a good chance we see a Carson Palmer 2.0 situation here where he decides to retire, and the Packers go, crap, we got to get something out of him. And he ends up getting dealt to wherever, Denver or wherever.
Yeah, I don't know, and I've seen that as a possible option the Packers would take that as opposed to a trade. Like, would you really, though? Would you take nothing and not have Aaron Rodgers, or would you try to at least get something? Because allegedly, all of these people, from the president to Gutekunst to LaFleur, are going to be there post-Rodgers, right? That's the belief, and I'm sure they believe that themselves. No matter how long Aaron continues to stay in Green Bay, wouldn't you try to at least set yourself up for a better future? If you're all of these guys, the Murphys and the Gutekunst and the
Mike Lures? Murphy, the team president, yeah. And here's the thing too: would Gutekunst getting fired, would that change Rodgers' perspective? Because he seems to be the guy that is very much in the crosshairs on this thing after he made the decision last draft, or draft before last, to select Jordan Love in the first round. That seemed, there were other things that bothered Rodgers, but that's the thing that the literal, you know, or the proverbial, I should say, not literal, proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. That was the thing where they didn't contact him before. I mean, in terms of, didn't they send him out like a text like 5 seconds before?
Yeah, something like that.
They didn't, where the Vikings obviously watched that when they drafted Kellen Mond. The call was made to Kirk Cousins. I get a feeling, though, even if they called him, he still would be where he is, I think. I think he would still be angry.
I think so. And I'm
maybe a little less angry, but I think he'd still be angry.
For me, it's as long as Jordan Love's on that roster, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be happy.
But now I think they could, Gutekunst could get fired, Love could get traded, and I think Aaron Rodgers would still be, because he's just wired that way.
Right.
You insulted me, and I don't care what you're trying to do now, your mea culpa, your way to try to fix the problem, damage has been done.
Right.
I want out. I don't want to be here anymore, regardless of what you do.
That's probably true.
I get a feeling of that a little bit, that with Murphy and, you know, the Packers front office, Gutekunst, you offended me.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing you can do will fix this problem. Because they offered him an extension that would have made him the highest paid quarterback in the league. And he said, no.
Right.
I don't want that. It's not about money.
I at least appreciated that, at least from the Rodgers side. Is
sure.
If it's about pride and
then let it be about pride then.
Then you should not be like, yeah, you know what, more money's fine. Let it be about pride, and I'm okay with that. At least he's staying true to that sentiment.
I'm angry. You're giving me a $50 million guaranteed $50 million guaranteed money.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it now. At least I'll give him. He's a man that is true to his convictions, his principles.
Mm-hmm.
He's angry at them. And it doesn't seem like that's going to change regardless what they do.
Right.
And we've heard nothing where the Packers have talked about firing Brian Gutekunst, that's even been discussed. But at some point...
that's not how they do business.
Right. And it's probably... that's not how they should do business.
No, it's not.
Whether that was the right call or the wrong call to draft Jordan Love, that was a decision that Mike Murphy agreed to,
mm-hmm.
Gutekunst made, and they knew, they had to know there was going to be the possibility that move, regardless if they called Aaron Rodgers 2 hours before
right.
or called him 2 hours later, that was going to take him off. And so they had to be prepared. I would have thought they would have to be prepared for this kind of reaction from him.
And for me, if I'm Murphy or Gutekunst or whoever, I'm sorry, I'm not picking Jordan Love over Aaron Rodgers. It's going to sound that way, but I'm not. So hear me out.
Right.
If you trade Jordan Love, you're going to have to do this again. Going to have to go through this again because you're going to have to eventually replace Aaron Rodgers.
At some point, that's going to have to happen.
You might as well rip the Band-Aid off
because
now.
Because what did they do when they had Brett Favre? They drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. You're going to have to replace him at some point. And you might as well go too early as opposed to too late. Because you still don't know what Jordan Love, he has played as many snaps of NFL football as I have.
Right.
You don't know what you have. You have to find out at some point.
Like you had to find out. Fortunately, they got a chance to play Aaron Rodgers a little bit when mm-hmm. Favre was there. Not a ton, but a little bit.
But if if Murphy resigns, fires Gutekunst, fires LaFleur, keeps Aaron Rodgers, trades Jordan Love, then the new regime is going to have to do this at some point.
And you're going to have to deal with this again with him.
Yes.
And that's assuming that you blow Gutekunst out of there and Aaron Rodgers goes, okay, that was the problem.
And
I'm good with staying here now.
And if he goes out and has an average season, it's not going to make Aaron Rodgers any less likely to be PO'd the next time. If he goes out and he throws 28 touchdowns and 15 picks and they go, I'm trying to do that, 10-7,
right.
9-8, sneak into the playoffs or just miss out, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we've really got to find. That's not going to make Aaron Rodgers be like, yeah, you know what, you guys are right. You probably are right this time around. No, it's not. You're going to have to do this again. You're going to have to do it at some point. You might as well do it now with the regime that is already in place and that has – you know, lit Aaron Rodgers' fire already.
You believed enough in Jordan Love, what you saw on the tape from his time at Utah State, to go, yep, he's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
And did they not trade up
yes.
to get him in that deal too? Yes. So
like you're saying, they had to know this was a possible reaction.
Yeah, because it's Aaron Rodgers. Come on. They know what a prickly kind of guy he can be, the kind of guy that takes stuff like this really, really badly.
Mm-hmm. Personally,
he's a guy that takes things very personally, whether that's a good thing, bad thing. From
he's
a quarterback standpoint,
Kevin Durant.
From a quarterback standpoint, if that helps to fuel his fire, it's obviously worked over the years. If that's the kind of way he mm-hmm. is, and that motivates him, it's obviously worked. He's a three-time MVP.
Very Kevin Durant-ish.
Right. So
just doesn't have burner accounts on Twitter, allegedly.
Allegedly. So, Rich Eisen, NFL Network,
mm-hmm.
has offered up some thoughts on this, too. That Eisen said on his show, is it personal or is it business? It's both. is what.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Is what Eisen is hearing. The answer is yes. It's both of those things that are troubling Aaron Rodgers. Felt like they should have paid him more. That was mm-hmm. that was on this list of things. The drafting of Jordan Love, even though the Packers have come back and offered Rodgers, way more money, mm-hmm. an extension. He's taken this personally. And like I said the other day, and something we read that even from day one with the Packers, it was like he started to build this list of things that bother me mm-hmm. about this organization and about not getting the chance to probably compete for the starting job sooner than he did and having to sit on the bench, 2 years behind Favre?
I believe so.
And so those were things that initially the checklist of grievances that he had started practically from the first day he got to Green Bay and has been building ever since that time. Whether that makes him the most petty son of a gun in the world, okay, it probably does in some level.
He had 59 career attempts in his first three seasons.
Yeah, so set.
So he had to sit for three, yeah.
For 3 years, not just two, but 3 years behind Favre. Now, Eisen went on to say, I heard he would happily go to Denver because they've got the weapons. They've got the spot. He doesn't care that it's in Mahomes' division. He would actually love to personally beat Mahomes. He'd love to send Mahomes to the wild card every single year. This is what I've been told. Now the question becomes, what does that deal look like? Because you've got to keep some of these weapons.
Right. But the Packers are going to want some.
And they're going to want something in this deal.
They're going to want some pieces and some very valuable pieces for Aaron Rodgers. You can package as many picks as you want, but if he sends Patrick Mahomes to the wild card for however many years he's in Denver, say they send him a 22, 23, 24 first rounders. The Broncos are winning the division. They're picking where the Packers are anyway.
Right.
It doesn't help the Packers get into the top 10 and get generational talents. I mean, first rounders are good.
It's what can you send me of players that are young, mm-hmm. have tremendous upside, maybe haven't had the chance yet to fulfill that upside.
One of those weapons is offensively going back to Green Bay. If I'm Brian Gutekunst, absolutely, I'm asking.
It's going to be Noah Fant. It might be somebody. Cortland Sutton. It's not going to be Drew Lock. They don't want Drew Lock.
No, they have Jordan Love.
They have Jordan Love, and they'll get a veteran quarterback to back him up. Whatever they mm-hmm. don't want Drew Lock, because there's been a lot of people. Oh, they'll just send him to Drew Lock. Well, no, they don't necessarily. I can't imagine why they would want Drew Lock if they have that much invested in Jordan Love.
Right.
So they're going to want Judy or Fant or Sutton. Maybe it's Fant and Tim Patrick. I think you can live with those two guys probably going to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Okubagwem skill set hopefully will be the next Noah Fant. You'd like to think, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Tim Patrick's coming off a career year, but you still got Cortland Sutton, coming back after missing all of last year.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping Jerry Judy's much better in year two. KJ Hamler starts to become a more consistent threat on this team.
They probably should ask for some of your depth pieces defensively as well. If I'm the Packers, I'm asking for a AJ Malik Reed type player defensively as
Draymond
well.
Draymond Jones.
Yeah. Someone around that ilk that can help them defensively.
But I can't see the Broncos giving up two current positional players
mm-hmm.
more than two.
I can't see them giving up three or four.
That combination would be, because it's going to be something like we mentioned, Fant.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say for the sake of argument here, Malik Reed, because they could obviously guy that still has I think a lot of potential outside edge yeah. rusher. Or Draymond Jones, or somebody like that.
And probably two or three draft picks on top of that.
And it'd probably be at least a couple of number ones.
And if I'm George Payton,
maybe a second
round.
And I'm probably listening to that.
For Aaron Rodgers? Yes.
Yeah.
There's almost no price too much. There is, I'm sure, at some point. You can't give up
the price
three camp, ones, three twos, three threes.
And you can't give up Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Noah Fant.
No.
Because that's part
he
of the reason.
He has to have someone to throw to.
Yeah, that's part of the reason he wants to come to Denver is because they have the young skill weapons that are there that would make his job a whole lot easier. You can't say, hey, we want you to come here, but all the guys you're expecting to throw the football to, they're all going back to where you were.
But you have to, you're probably going to give up an offensive weapon and a young defensive promising player.
Which, like I said, could be Draymond Jones, could be Malik Reed.
Could even be Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, they drafted corner, though, in the first round of the kid out of Georgia.
It could be.
What I've heard, though, is that's unlikely
that
would be the case, that they would not.
But they had a quarterback, and they drafted a quarterback last year, so. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
But the, probably a trade of a first-round pick, a guy that you just drafted, and if you considered him, like George Payton did, the best defensive player in this draft, they're probably not going to get him.
Probably
not. It's going to be two current positional guys, probably at least two first-round picks, and probably like a second round. That's what I keep seeing. Yeah. That seems to be the constant of what people think the deal could look like.
But if I'm George Payton, there's no one on my roster that I'm just straight hanging up the phone if they ask for.
Right. If you want, though, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Noah Fant, I'm like, wow, don't think I can do that.
I'm negotiating, though.
Because then Rodgers may go, I don't want to go to Denver then. I don't want that deal. I'll just stay here then.
But they also have Valdez-Scantling, Lazard. They have Devontae Adams. It's not like they're bereft of talent anyway. They need help defensively.
Noah Fant would be intriguing because they could use a really productive tight end in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And Fant would be that guy. And you have Albert O, which you could just hopefully plug into that spot.
And they may want him. Who knows?
They may want him, and you may send Okubagwem to Green Bay.
He's been hurt once. Noah Fant's been nicked up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, Okwagbanam is a little bit younger.
Yeah, a couple of years younger.
There's no telling what they would ask for, but.
But they might. Okwagbanam could be that guy, though. They just say, hey, look, we see the young potential there, low mileage.
Yeah.
We need a playmaking tight end. Guy that'll help us in the red zone for Jordan Love needs that security blanket of a really good tight end.
Him
that can
and
develop.
Malik Reed. I could
see that in two firsts and a second rounder.
I'll take back what I said just a couple minutes ago. I think there is one name on the Broncos that you hang up the phone if they ask for. It's Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, because he's going to be your war horse. He's going to be your big bully on the block going forward
right
is your
now,
pass rusher.
He's probably the guy that you're just like,
I can't do that.
Right.
Unless it's Bradley Chubb, two firsts and a second. And then I might go, okay, I think I can get by with that.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the rest of the package. That's
but you're not getting anything else. You're getting Bradley Chubb.
He's the only
player.
That's
it. That's the only player that's coming to you in this whole thing. All right, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Also, I don't know if you caught this over the weekend, DK Metcalf, who ran in the USATF Golden Games.
He didn't catch anybody either.
Still ran a 10.37.
Yeah, I probably
100. And he did finish last, by the way. But, I mean, he ran against some guys that were former Olympic sprinters. Look, seeing a big guy run that fast, that was impressive to see. Ato Bolden is a former Olympic sprinter who called it for NBC Sports that particular dash. He says he was impressed with Metcalf's performance, and he says that he believes that some of the fastest players in the league could have solid track careers with the right training, guys like Tyreek Hill. So, Metcalf, while he finished last, I mean, it wasn't like everybody was out way in front of him. I mean, he still ran a 10.37, and that's with him not really training a ton.
Right.
Imagine what he could do if he actually, and this is where Bolden's saying, imagine if a Tyreek Hill, a Metcalf, actually trained to be sprinters. They could maybe be guys that are on the Olympic team. But that's once again, though, are you willing to make that sacrifice if you're one of them, considering the money that they currently make in the NFL?
Well, you know how they'll put like little fake animals on the thing around the track and have them be chased for like dogs and horses or whatever?
Right.
Imagine if they put Buda Baker in one of those, how fast DK Metcalf could run.
Get that thing down to about 10 even, probably.
Yeah. That is one of the most amazing plays I've seen. He was 10 yards behind him and 10 yards further into the field and caught him.
And ran him down.
Yeah.
All right, 8:26. We will take a break. We'll come back. Text or call us, 970-242-1340.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 8:28. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Once you're good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend, text it in to us today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. All right. A couple things to get to. First off, in addition to the University of Colorado Buffalo's offensive line, I don't know if you caught this because it does involve your beloved Ohio State Buckeyes.
No, I did not see this.
That Max Ray, a former four-star recruit, played the last 3 years with Ohio State, is leaving Columbus to come to Colorado. He has 3 years of eligibility left. And his brother, Jake's at CU. Jake Ray was a highly touted recruit for Colorado last year, but had to medically retire this winter. He's now working with the program as a filmmaker. So due to some injury problems, his brother decided to shut it down. But Max Ray, who redshirted Ohio State in 2018, played in 3 games in 2019. Last season, played in 7 games. Made his first career start against Michigan State at right tackle. Has decided to hit the portal and will be coming to Colorado. And he's expected to compete for a starting job right away, most likely at a tackle spot. Buffs lost left tackle Will Sherman to the NFL draft. And then they had the top returning tackle, Frank Phillip, who suffered a torn labrum in the spring. So it'll be freshman Jake Wiley, Gerard Christian Lichtenhahn. They played some snaps. Noah Finsky's a transfer from Iowa. He's expected to compete at tackle. They also have junior Chance Lytle, sophomore Cannon Ray playing a tackle, but mostly those guys have been a guard, according to the Denver Post. So those are two guys that, like I said, play a tackle, but most of their time has been there at the guard position. So he's from Franklin, Tennessee. Ray is, by the way, listed as the 7th best tackle prospect back in 2018. And he got scholarship offers from Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Oregon, and Southern Cal.
I mean, it seems every year there's 2, 3, 4 Ohio State linemen that are drafted or move into the NFL and are really pretty good. And 4-star linemen at Ohio State are kind of a dime a dozen.
Right.
You know, and I'll still every once in a while forget about the COVID year. Like, hey, he played 3 years. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. I'm like, how?
Like, I'll get the, got the extra sense. Year. Yeah.
But, you know, he didn't really he cracked the lineup here or there. He didn't play a ton for Ohio State, but, you know, there's no telling who's behind him in the pipeline on the edges for Ohio State, which have had a long history of guys that are really good and may not be the worst thing to, you know, get out while the getting's good.
Yeah. And a chance to come to Colorado where he'll compete for a starting job from day one. All right, 8:31. But this, once again, this is part of the transfer portal has become free agency for college football. It has created, and for college basketball as well. I mean, you see a lot of guys now that, you know, there are programs that, hey, I need an offensive tackle. I need a quarterback. JT Sherratt, the Tennessee quarterback who's now at Colorado. Guys that hit the transfer portal and guys that immediately, you know, here's a guy and
it's like online shopping.
Exactly. Here's a guy in Ray that didn't play a ton.
Add him to the cart.
Did play in the Big Ten. Did play in a Power Five conference school, a program that obviously is one of the better programs in college football. Got caught up in a numbers game, obviously, because of the talent that they're able to bring to Columbus. And so, yeah, if a program like Colorado, you can address some of these areas with the transfer portal. But you also lose guys, too, because of it. And do you see a day where the NCAA tries to find a way to put the genie back in the bottle with the transfer portal? It becomes too much of college football free agency because of the transfer portal?
I do, and I'm still torn on whether I really think they should or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a part of me that's like, you know what? If you want out, fine. Coaches can move. They don't have to sit out a year if they go take a new job. All they do is the buyout. Why do you not have that freedom as a player? You know, and there's varying different reasons for why you want out. You know, if you're not going to play, if you're not good enough to start, to me, sometimes that's not a good enough reason. It's, all right, you may not be very good. Right. Or the team may just be super loaded and you can be good if you're given the chance. It's all situational to me, but I think at some point, I think the NCAA does try to put some more limitations on this. Because what's more fun than more NCAA rules?
But also the talk about going forward of not making players have to sit out a year to transfer, you know, long term, those kind of things are, you know, now part of the landscape of where we're heading with college athletics and the transfer portal, you know, for those grad guys and other guys. I mean, it's become there's good things about it in terms of programs like for Colorado that's looking to add a piece here, a piece there. And that's great.
Yeah.
But then also you get guys that are unhappy with the coaching staff, whatever, and before you can try to maybe mend that fence, they're gone. They're off to someplace else.
The guy that recruited them is no longer there or whatever. Right. There's all that to take into account, I think. You know, but if a guy's like, I want to be closer to home. All right, you have to play in town. You can't be like, oh, you know, I'm from Tennessee and Columbus just isn't for me and I want to play closer to home, so I'm going to Boulder. Nah, bro.
No.
You got to play for the Volunteers.
No.
Have fun with that.
If we ran the NCAA, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to play in your town. Oh, it's only a JC. All right. You're playing for 2 years and you got to find another one.
All right, Jim Law with the Buckeye Boy today.
You're going to be close to home.
Send us your good, the bad, the ugly to win Qdoba today. 970-242-1340. I did want to mention this since we're talking NFL about the Broncos a few minutes ago. They have on The Athletic, their NFL power rankings, the post-draft edition. And so don't look at – you're not looking at it, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So we'll see – we'll test your knowledge, your opinion on who you think would be in the top 10.
Okay.
We start with number 10. Who do you think the number 10, after the draft, heading into OTAs and minicamps and everything, 10th best team in the league is?
Say the Niners.
It's a team in your division.
The Ravens.
How about your team?
Oh, the Browns, really?
Browns, number 10? 10.
Weren't they just second in roster talent last week?
Pro Football Focus, though.
Oh, okay.
Had them as the heading into the draft with the second best roster.
I'm
going to
go with the Cleveland Browns. Jim.
There you go.
Who are the Browns?
Number 9, AFC team, AFC West team.
Broncos?
No.
Chargers.
Number 8, NFC team, NFC West team.
The Seahawks?
Seattle Seahawks in number 8. Very good. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, when you narrow down to only 4 teams, it gets easy.
And I like what they say here in this. If you're going on the offseason for the Seahawks, you would think they were 4-12, not 12-4 and made the playoffs.
They got a lot better. And you notice how that quarterback controversy has gone away.
Quieted down and to the point there was nothing even being discussed about Russell Wilson anymore. Same division. Number 7.
Niners.
Niners.
Yeah. I get them right eventually.
Same division. Number six.
Who else is left? The Rams?
The Rams are number six.
Really? I always feel like, you know, they traded their quarterback. They didn't want to. I guess they weren't that bad. We talked about that.
Second best injury luck last year in the league. Second fewest injuries for the Rams. And now they got Matthew Stafford.
Just happened in the playoffs. That's when they
got him. Just happened in the playoffs. Yep, that's when they caught up with him. Number five, AFC team.
Number five, AFC
team. Team that you have a dislike for because of their history.
The Ravens?
The Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, like that could be half of them.
Number four, we talked about this team already today a lot.
The Packers?
The Packers at number four.
Yeah.
Number three, one of our members of our staff, huge fan.
Steelers? No. The Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
I'm like, our staff.
Our staff.
Gotcha.
Number two, AFC West.
Chiefs. Then the Bucs.
Then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers, they had the best injury luck in the league last year.
And lost no one, essentially, from a Super Bowl team.
What, first time ever that a team has not lost any...
A starter.
A starter, yeah. Any starter, free agents to other teams.
Like
the year after they won a Super Bowl.
We joked about it. The Chiefs, like, I'll run it back. Well, good luck. Now the Bucks, or they could.
They could very well do it.
It could be a rematch. They might as well just hold it in Tampa again.
Unless Tom Brady just, all of a sudden, 44 hits him like a ton of bricks, and all of a sudden he now plays like a 44-year-old man. They're going to be in the conversation again.
Even with strongly that defense, in that conversation. They could probably still make the playoffs.
Yes. And look, he'll have a season to, whether you like Antonio Brown or not, he's a guy that can certainly help you on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. You have a full season of him, potentially, maybe.
Gronk, Howard.
Gronk.
Yep. Who's the other wide receiver? I forgot his name.
You got Godwin.
Godwin and...
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, thank you.
Mike Evans. So, I mean, you've got guys you brought in like Brown later, and you're going to have a full off season with him, preseason.
Yeah.
More time for Brady and him to work on chemistry and things like that. Yeah, it's...
They're going to be pretty good.
They're going to be pretty good again. All right, 8:40, we will take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get into a good call, bad call. That's coming up next. Text or call in today. Please send us your good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend, from the week last week. You can send it in to us today to win Qdoba, 970-242-1340. All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 844. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. It's Monday, which means the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. It also means it's Monday. And it's time for...
Was that a good call, or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
That would be you. You okay over there? Got it?
Yeah, sorry. Completely
it's like that,
not at all locked in on that one.
That would be you.
That's an E me. I'll own that
okay,
one.
Okay, very
sure.
Good. All right. Good call, bad call. The NFL will announce its schedule on Wednesday. We already know who everybody's playing, but
just where, exactly.
So we'll make the assumption Tampa Bay, right? They're going to open the season on that September 9th, that Thursday game. Who do you think they'll play? Good call, bad call. That will be... Now, Peter King says he thinks it'll be either Buffalo or Dallas. Good call that it's probably the Cowboys, right? They still have that national attention. Not that Buffalo hasn't started to, you know, build up a following, but it's still the Cowboys. They're America's team. How about
America's
them Cowboys?
Team. Yeah,
it's going to be Brady taking on Dak and the Cowboys. So good call on that. I think he's right about that. He says it's either Dallas or Buffalo. I think it'll be Dallas.
Yeah, I think so. Are they at the Patriots this year? If that's a home game, I could definitely see that.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think they're at the Patriots. But, yeah, that's a good call with the Cowboys there. If Drew Brees is still playing, I'd say open with the Saints. But I don't think anybody else really fits the bill outside of the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's a good call.
All right, do you have one?
Yes. Good call, bad call. The Rockies system is very thin in the minors.
Right.
They have two impending free agents in Trevor Story and John Gray.
True.
Who might help fatten the system, so to speak. You have an interim GM. I understand that he wants to be the guy at the end of the season in 5 months. But should the Rockies go outside of the organization for the next GM? Good call, bad call, that they gather up prospects, trade the major leaguers, and let the new guy essentially start from scratch. Good call, bad call.
I think it's a good call.
I think so, too.
But here's the feeling. It's going to be Bill Schmidt. Yeah, I just think it's going to be Bill Schmidt. They're just going to They're just going to give him the job. Unless he just horrifically screws it up. They'll say, hey, look, Bill knows our system. He knows our prospects. We like the work he's done during this period of yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And it's going to be Bill Schmidt. I just think that's what ends up happening. It just seems like that's what it's set up for. Yeah.
And the thing is, you read the comment section on Rocky's articles on The Athletic or Purple Row or anything, Rock's Pile. The Rockies fan base knows as long as the puppet master, Dick Monfort, is still pulling the strings, this team's not going to get significantly better.
Yeah, not until there's a day where he goes, okay, I'm taking myself out of these decisions. We're gonna bring in a new team president. I'm sorry, the Greg Fiesel or whatever. Come on.
If he doesn't give Greg Fiesel any independence, he's gonna fail.
Yeah. But then this is not Fiesel's area of expertise either. On the baseball operations side.
And he's not a guy that has the swing or cachet, at least as far as what I've read, to tell Dick Monfort no.
No,
Dick Monfort doesn't want.
He's been a loyal soldier. That's why he got this team president gig.
Right. You need a guy that can be, no, we're not doing that, Dick. Or, no, you really need to sign this person.
And look, loyalty, that's been what it's been all about, right?
Yep.
For Dick Monfort, well, he's a loyal guy. He's a good guy. Might be doing a crappy job, but he's a really loyal guy. It's never good.
Pretty much, yeah.
I've got another one.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get you some tunes here real quick.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you getting that on.
You're welcome.
As quickly as you did. This time. We talked about it last Thursday. Albert Pujols cut by the Angels.
Yeah.
And even though Pujols says he would not say if he was ready to retire after the season, he's been looking for gigs, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
That Pujols even reached out to Tony La Russa, his former manager in St. Louis, now the White Sox manager. Tony La Russa says he does not want him. And apparently, this is from Bob Nightingale, who covers baseball for USA Today, Pujols lashed out after he got benched, apparently got into a yelling match with Joe Madden, and criticized Madden's managerial skills. Good call or bad call, Albert Pujols is on a team and finishes up this season playing for somebody in Major League Baseball.
I think that's a good call because I want to say I saw him visiting or talking with the Rangers this morning. You know what I mean? I think that's a good call. I think somebody signs him up.
Yeah, I think, Hall of Fame caliber player. You know, maybe not the player he once was, but still, goes to the American League. That makes a lot of sense. Can DH, can play a little first base if they need him to play first base and, interleague game. An American League team makes a lot of sense for him to go there and finish up his career, kind of like he did, once again with the Angels.
Yeah.
Similar situation. Makes a lot of sense.
I think was surprised about the White Sox deal because they have some injuries now that they're going to have to kind of work around. Luis Roberts nicked up. Who's the other guy that just went on the long-term DL? Somebody got hurt again.
You mean Mercedes?
Oh, you mean Mercedes?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got nicked up the other day, didn't he? Or he's out for a while.
Yeah, so right now they have Abreu, Mercedes. I'm trying to think if Mercedes one of the guys that was injured or not. Not that Mercedes hurt. They just don't have a role. Mercedes is not hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The comment from La Russa was, we just don't have a spot for him here. We have Jose Abreu and Yermin Mercedes, and even if Yermin gets less hot, it's a good way to DH other guys, get them off their feet. There is no fit here, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's probably true. I remembered somewhere them having one of their big hot hitters get nicked up. Maybe it was Moncada or somebody else, but... Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be... Albert wants to play the field, but those days may be numbered. But the Rangers, he could fit in there, make his chase for 700, sure, if he wants to do that. Rangers aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're 500, treading water in the West, but over 162, I just don't think they're going to last. You know, they have Joey Gallo that they can stick out in the outfield. Willie Calhoun, who was here at the Junior College World Series.
Yeah.
He's their DH, hitting .329 right now, but he can also play some outfield. I mean, he's very Tim Tebow-esque out there in the grass, but if you can find a spot for him, you might be able to find a spot for him.
Right now, Pujols hitting .198, 5 home runs, 12 RBIs.
Yeah, bring him to Cleveland. I don't care.
He struck out 13 times.
Cleveland's been no-hit twice. Let's bring in Albert Pujols.
Think Albert could run into one at least, right?
Yeah. I mean, you play Franmil Reyes in the outfield, maybe not play Ahmad Rosario out there, and then have Albert DH. Yeah, I'm down. Can Albert catch? Roberto Perez just broke a finger. So can Albert catch? We're going to need somebody there. I like Austin Hedges, but not that much.
What about bring him to Colorado and play a little first base for the Rockies?
Jeff Breidich isn't here to just sign random people to play first base.
They're looking to get more butts in the seats, right? So yeah. I would get a few more people, get some Cardinals fans to show up. Well, they'd already show up anyway.
Right.
But they might actually randomly show up for a Rockies game, those that live on the front range, because Pujols is there.
Albert Pujols ahead of CJ Crone. If he commits and gets 700 as a Rocky... He's 667, 668 right now. If he could get 700 as a Rocky, I would do it. Because then every time that somebody brings up Albert Pujols, they show 700, he's in a Rocky
he's
uniform.
He's going to be in a Rocky's uniform, yeah. Crone right now, Crone's hitting .290. He's got 15 RBIs, 5 home runs, so he's got...
Can't sit him down.
No.
Can you play third base, CJ?
Yeah. No. So CJ Crone, is not going to be shown the bench by Bud Black for Albert Pujols.
Can you play first base? Because the guy hitting .191 is over there right now. Just saying.
So maybe there is a
former
spot.
Teammate of Albert Pujols.
That's true.
Probably lost some ABs to Albert in the past.
Yeah, so maybe there is a spot for him with the Rockies.
Maybe.
Even though even though American League makes more sense for Albert Pujols. Yeah. Makes a lot more sense.
Bring him to Cleveland. Do it. Make me happy.
Why not? All right. Something to make you happy about the Indians.
Yeah, been no hit twice in a month.
All right, so text or call us today. It's Monday, which means it's the good, the bad, the ugly. So it makes your list. Hopefully you treated mom great on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that was my good Mother's Day. Liked that. Good weekend all around. Bad was Rockies getting swept by the Cardinals.
Not good at all.
Twice in 3 days. Indians getting no hit for the second time. By Wade Miley, of all people, whose son's temporary Incredible Hulk tattoo is what allowed him to no hit the Indians.
Yeah, his kid put the tattoo on him before the game. He's going to have to do that every time now.
This is going to be a long summer.
So it's what now? 4 official no-hitters.
And mad bums, yeah.
And mad bums, which would be 5, but they're not.
I say we're going to get 10 by the end of the year.
That's looking really likely, isn't it? It does. Yeah.
It's not even Memorial Day. We're almost halfway there.
All right, 8:55. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 3. We'll have This Day in Sports History coming up next hour. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Great to have you along today. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Somebody's going to win Qdoba today. Text in.